Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And we have traveled back in time.
I know, like, this is... Okay, Joel is currently recording from an undisclosed location right now, so we're having to do this over Skype, and we haven't recorded a Classy Ring Attire like this since... It's got to be, like, what, 2 years ago?
Maybe, yeah, yeah. For the longest time, listeners of all time... We used to record these on Skype because me and Chris lived in different locations.
Right.
And it was not feasible to be in the same location for a recording session. So, yeah, we would have to go to completely... We had to use Skype. And so due to things this week beyond control, we are having to, once again, as if it were 2 years ago...
Yeah.
Record.
Except I don't have a headset that I, you know, constantly bump into. So if you go back and you listen to those old Class Ring Attires, you'll hear like this noise. That's me accidentally brushing up against the microphone on this headset that was insanely cheap because it was free. Yeah.
So, but yeah, so we are aware there's a little bit of a problem, audio lat deck. Anti, go down, downgrade. You know what I'm trying to get to. A down, go bad, no, disagree.
Yes. Sure, yeah, we're going to have one of those. I might be a little bit louder than Joel because I have our usual microphone, but it's right up against my face now.
Yeah.
Usually it's, you know, pretty good distance apart. So, but all
we'll
that
see.
Is to say, hello, hi, and welcome.
But we had to record this. We talked about trying to do it with a guest again, but it's the one right after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And so...
And it was a good show, and it was a show that definitely needed to be discussed with the two of us. Not saying that our potential guest's opinion of the show would have been less than ours, but it would have been.
But let's not beat around the bush.
Right. I mean, let's not go crazy here. Come on. All right. You just want to just jump right into the...
Do you want to just do it in order? Like, the main event isn't what we should be talking about all the time?
Well, you know... There's an order to the card for a reason.
Okay, fine.
All right, so we're going to start with the kickoff show, which I still haven't seen. I just now realized that.
We didn't watch the kickoff show, so it doesn't exist.
Nope. So we'll skip over Rob Van Dam beating Cesaro.
Okay. Well, I guess it's important to note that Cesaro then won the next Monday.
He did?
Yeah. He beat Swagger.
Oh, right, because Swagger was selling from the previous day. Okay, fair enough.
Right.
All right. Start off the actual show that we did watch with Dolph Ziggler and The Miz.
Yes.
Yes.
I liked it, but I love me some Dolph Ziggler, and he's never been in a bad match in my heart, even though I'm aware that he has, because the Spirit Squad existed. Dolph
right.
Ziggler's never been in a bad match in my heart.
I'm glad that you added that little caveat. No, it was a fun and enjoyable match. Dolph Ziggler's Dolph Ziggler, and Miz didn't screw it up too much, you know, and yeah, fine, I'll give Miz credit if I have to. Sure.
Yeah.
Why are you in such agreement with that?
I like The Miz.
Yeah. Sure.
We've had this discussion
once every three months or so. Yeah, I know. It takes me by surprise every time that I, you know, in the back of my head, I should always remember, oh yeah, that's right, Joel actually kind of likes The Miz, because Joel kind of actually likes pretty much everyone.
You were on board with The Miz for a while there.
Yeah, okay, I was okay with him whenever he won the Money in the Bank and he was
yeah,
the champion.
you weren't mad when he won Money in the Bank, so that means you were at least a little, you were okay with him in the, you know, months prior to Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Like the post-Show Miz era, and then like that kind of, you know.
No,
Show Miz is no good. I agree, no good there.
Right.
But like in that, post that era, we kind of had some like, singles stuff, notoriety, kind of, you know, worked that area. You were okay with him because you weren't mad that he won Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And then you weren't mad that he was champion, and he pulled off amazingly good matches, like, against Lawler and...
Yeah, they were good matches. I wouldn't call them amazingly good, but...
It's amazing that they were as good as they were.
There you go. There you go.
The, right, matches I'll... are not... I didn't say they were amazing matches. I said they were amazingly good. The amazing is... Okay. I can't believe they were good.
Thank you for diagramming that statement for me.
You're
yeah, I'll agree with that. I'll say, like, pretty much everything leading up to and including WrestleMania 27 mm-hmm. with Miz's Money in the Bank and his championship run, I was in favor of. Everything after WrestleMania 27, just, it was all downhill from there for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you had the overly long feud with John Cena that just felt like it went on for years instead of a few months. And then, of course, after that, you know, he had some decent matches with Alex Riley, but that was Alex Riley's only decent match that he could pull out was against, you know, Miz. And then from there, just nothing was the same with Miz, and now he's still trying and failing at the Figure Four.
Yeah, but I like this. I like this character now. I like that they're really leaning into the Hollywood thing.
Right, yeah. And because
I'll be honest, the thing that I think has hurt him in the ring the most is how often he's been gone to do other stuff for the WWE.
Yeah, he's a little, it's one of those things where he's a little bit too much of a workhorse for them. Mm-hmm. I've said in the past, like, I appreciate everything Miz does outside of actually wrestling. Because, you know, he's doing a lot of these things that a lot of people probably wouldn't be willing to do to, you know, continue to get the word out about the product or shows or whatever. You know? Fine. Are you happy I said nice things about Miz?
Yeah, go the Miz.
So, yeah, Dolph won, and he's your new Intercontinental Championship.
Yes.
Champion. I should have said that.
Yes, whatever. New Intercontinental Champion.
That's the one. So we move on to the Divas Championship match with Paige defeating AJ. I was a little bit surprised Paige won here.
Yeah, I was too.
I figured they would have stuck with AJ and then, you know, found some sort of shenanigans or some sort of reason to actually continue this feud with these two going forward. But, you know, taking the belt off the champ is a good way to keep it going because they automatically get a rematch. So there you go.
That cinches up what the match for Night of Champions will be.
Right, and they don't have to just kind of scramble last minute to find a match like they tend to usually do with U.S. and Intercontinental Championships.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so, we know how that's going to go.
Yeah,
and I don't know, like. I feel equally passionate about both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm as equally as invested in Paige as I am in AJ.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't super care who wins. I want one of the two to have it. Right. As long as they're feuding, I can't lose. I'm not at risk of Eva Marie accidentally being Divas champion.
True. Like we were at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as long as, whatever we can do to stay out of that scenario where it's a possibility that she or someone like her could. Like her or Rosa Mendez risking mm-hmm. being champion. And yeah, stuff like that scares me.
Yeah.
Not that I really care that much. It'll really just reaffirm every terrible thought we've ever had about the Divas division.
I know, but it's so much better now. And it makes it makes me feel better that it's so much better now, because I feel better about saying it was terrible before, you know?
Right.
Like, I had that little bit like, oh, I'm just not giving it a fair chance, and I'm jumping on the bandwagon of do-do-do-do-do-do. But right. I'm like, nope, look at this. Like,
you think of it, out of everyone that's on the TV show on Total Divas, I would say about half of them are actually pretty good in the ring. You know? That's half of... half of people on the show, not, half of the entire division, but still, the fact that you can say at least that much is a big improvement over where we were, a few years ago.
And even those where I'm not out and out looking forward to them, there's not that many that I dread. Like, I don't dread Tamina. I'm not thrilled to see Tamina in the ring, but I don't dread Tamina's going to put on a match that Tamina puts on.
Right.
And, oh, good, they can have a heavy in the Divas division now.
Right.
Yes, Summer Rae, I'm not excited about, but I'm not, you know. Part of that is also, like, Summer Rae actually hasn't had her own feud. She's just been
a part of something else, or she's been a part of a triangle, or
yeah,
whatever Fandango was involved in, and now she's not really doing anything.
Yeah. So, but we'll see.
Yeah.
As long as it's Paige and AJ, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Somebody I want to have the title is going to have the title at the end of that match.
Right.
I don't care.
Next we have the quote-unquote flag match.
That was not a flag match.
That was not a flag match, but Rusev ended up winning over Jack Swagger by, well, they officially listed it as knockout.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they don't do that a lot.
What do you mean?
And he didn't tap. He fought to the bitter end until he, you know, this kind of like, technically there's a winner, but there's almost a draw kind of feel to it because, like, oh, that one guy, he had to submit and he never did.
Right.
And so, like, the one that comes to mind is Stone Cold and Bret Hart.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's something that they use whenever there's going to be someone in the ring that they really, really want to get over with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it was amazingly successful for Austin. The only other times I can think of that they've done that recently have flopped horribly. One of those was, and this made no sense at all, was 2013 Royal Rumble. And it came down to Cena and Ryback. And Ryback was pretty much still, you know, the guy that we all thought was going to be the next guy.
Yeah.
And Cena put him in the STF so long that he passed out. Which made no sense because it was the Royal Rumble.
You know? I remember yelling at Cena for something like that.
And then, like, basically Cena just kind of flopped him over the side of the ring. And he won. Like, that was the end of the match, as far as I know. And that was a wasted opportunity. Like, yeah, that could have been a thing that could have put over Ryback big time. And it would have helped, you know, because it would put over Ryback and it would, and Cena could still win and everyone's investments are happy.
Yeah.
But it was the Royal Rumble match. You know, like, you could have used that in a regular match between the two or in some other fashion to really get him over.
You just sat there instead and went, oh, Cena doesn't know what the rules for the Royal Rumble are.
Exactly. That's and then cool. You have this time around, and I feel like it's wasted because it's Jack Swagger.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it's supposed to be like, you know, it's like, oh, they're invoking Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Stone Cold.
Bret Hart and Stone Cold. This doesn't feel like Bret Hart and Stone Cold.
No. You know why? Because it's Rusev and Jack effing Swagger.
In a flag match in the middle of the card. That wasn't even a flag match. Yeah.
It was a regular match where someone's flag gets to, you know, be put in position behind the ring.
That being said, I'm pretty much in Rusev's corner now.
Okay, you're going full Sergeant Slaughter here.
No, I'm just like, it's won me over. And I do not want to say that the, what, 3-4 months of Monster Build that I complained about worked. Because no, that was all stupid. And it's still stupid.
Okay, alright. So, basically, you wanted to still justify you burying everything Rusev has done for, like, the past 4 months before this. But
well,
now
no,
you're
okay. Well, Rusev has done a very good job over the past month.
Uh-huh.
He looks good in matches. This particular match, he sold the ankle lock incredibly well.
He did.
Specifically, when he had to put weight on it to do the camel clutch.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing where, for other wrestlers, if they needed to do that, oh, they just don't hurt anymore. Because they need to plan them. And so
to be conscientious of that. Like, that's really good on him to be aware of that.
Yeah.
You know, good job. I'm pretty pleased with how he turned out.
No, he's one of those guys where he projects his emotions very well.
Yeah.
That I've noticed. You know, most of his emotions has been, I'm going to smash and grr. But this one's, you know, you could really, he really, you know, emoted a lot of the pain and
all that stuff. But he's starting to really look like a big guy, a credible threat to the bulk of the locker room. A little bit of, like, he's mowing down people successfully. Like, oh, I don't know who else is going to be, you know, in trouble next. Who is he going to set his eyes on next? So, and that's what they're going for, and it's working now. And so I want to commend them for that. But at the same time, I still want to say, like, nope, that the first 3-4 months don't count. It's not like, right. Oh, I was wrong and you were right. No, I still stand by what I said, so don't point out that, like, oh, you were complaining about it, now you like it. Because, no, it's different now. They could have started where they started a month ago and been fine.
Yeah, and kudos to Jack Swagger for, you know, having a dead gaze and just an empty look about himself. Oh, wait, that's how he always is. Oh, darn.
Really? Let's see. Let's play this game. Raise your hand if you own a Jack Swagger shirt. Chris is raising his hand, everyone.
Or should I put my hand here? I'm sorry. It's a great shirt, I should say. It's a great short shirt.
You should say. Wait, you're not going to, apparently.
You know what? I don't have to justify myself.
Next match.
Next is the lumberjack match between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. This was a fun match.
Yeah.
Seth ended up ultimately winning.
Yeah, by the way, this is like a bad, like, so, not to fast forward a bit, but like, somebody was talking about the little kid, you can do it scene, like the one kid cheering, you hear that one tiny child voice cheering, let's go Cena, and then that crowd, and you're like, and he's like, really close, and like, some parent probably paid $100, $200 for that ticket, it's in LA, maybe $300 for that ticket, and then another $300 for their ticket, like, somebody's probably spending $700, $800 to give their little boy the night of his dreams to watch Cena overcome the odds, just like he always knew that he could. And he's like, that didn't happen. I'm like, and there's nothing really to fall back on. Rusev won, so America lost.
Yep.
Paige won. Dean Ambrose didn't get his revenge.
Right.
Stephanie won.
Yeah.
So, like, I hope he likes Dolph.
I hope he likes Dolph, and I hope he likes Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Which odds are he probably does.
It was a bad day for faces this year, SummerSlam. What'd you think? SummerSlam is usually like a little mini WrestleMania where the faces finally get their comeuppance.
Yeah, the face finally, you know, all the hard work or whatever, or all the agony they've gone through pays off.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not this year.
Not this year.
Well, you know, we're living in dark times, my friend.
Whatever.
Wars, rumors of wars, riots, all that good old stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, let's focus on the lumberjack match.
Yeah, lumberjack match was a great match, horrible gimmick, but yes, Joel, I can see that there's a cat in the background. Congratulations. I don't have anything living in the room with me.
Good job on explaining that to the podcast audience.
Well, you kept pointing at it.
I was petting it.
No, you were pointing
focus,
at it.
Focus, Chris, focus.
Fine. So yeah, lumberjack match, which is typically a horrible gimmick, and it's still a horrible gimmick.
It's a horrible gimmick.
I mean, it's a...
Damien Sandow tried real hard.
Because he was dressed up as an actual lumberjack. Basically, it's a meat cage match, essentially. Yeah. You know?
It's a good way to describe it, I like that.
Thank you. I just came up with it.
Well, here's the thing. Is like, they didn't do their job.
No. They were horrible at their job, and they went all over the place and just kind of chased each other for a while, but it was still all right.
And as much as I liked that lumberjack match, and that's just kind of full credit to those guys,
Yeah.
I would have been more interested in a Falls Count Anywhere match at SummerSlam. Basically, mm-hmm. the match they ended up having on Raw.
Yeah.
Have that on at SummerSlam with that little bit of extra give it the oomph because it's a pay-per-view match now kind of mm-hmm. thing. That's what I would be more interested in. By the way, that was, and again, jumping to Raw, that was an amazing curb stomp. I was so stressed. I don't think I've been that stressed for a wrestler in a long time.
Right. Yeah, that Raw match that they had, I was amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, either those were some fake bricks or, you know, someone's very large cocaine vault got hacked into.
I mean, I'm assuming that he did, like, he basically just kicked in the bricks. The way, like, the camera angle shifted in a weird way for the actual curb stomp to happen.
Yeah, or it was fake bricks. That was kind of like, it would break away and kind of into dirt to give it that chalky look.
Yes, I mean, yes, it is fake, right? Like, but, I don't know. Or
it's cocaine.
I'm just saying, and like,
this went a full, like, TNA route of bad, like, story.
No, well, this was the one where I was like, okay, like, especially because they were kind of, like, pausing a lot and getting the setup for it, and I was like, alright, yeah. Somebody's gonna come in and interrupt this. I'm waiting for the interruption. And then it didn't happen. I was like, ugh! They didn't interrupt it.
Right.
So, it caught me off guard, I will admit.
Yeah. And also, why, you know, cinder blocks or not, why were they even there? Like, I want someone's justification on that. Why were they inside this little box thing that
I have no idea, Kane, but they must be there every week, because Kane knew they were there. So clearly, either Kane hid them away for secret plans, or they need to weigh down the barricade, lest it float away.
That's going to be the new who ran over Stone Cold angle. Be like, who planted the bricks?
Yeah.
Yep. It was Rikishi. He did it for The Rock.
Every week. That's only if they keep on it. If they stop talking about it for a year, then it's going to be Hornswoggle.
Yeah, or we'll never find out. Like all the other mysteries that we don't know of. What was the one that we talked about last week?
Last week was, what was Triple H going to say to Shawn Michaels?
Well, no, there was something else that, because that was something that led to us saying that.
I don't remember what we talked about then.
Me neither. I don't listen to our podcast. Our podcast is terrible.
It always comes back to... That's what they should make a Scooby-Doo movie about, is having to solve all of these mysteries for 20 years of Raw.
Solve all of our mysteries in this hour and a half cartoon.
Like, I'm all about...
Go.
I'm all about some bear ghost, because it's a bear ghost in a wrestling movie, and I want to see that. But...
Is that the actual villain in the wrestling?
Yeah, no, it's a bear ghost.
Oh my god! And you want me to watch this?
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
I'm not gonna watch it.
We promised.
When did I promise? I do not remember making that promise.
I will.
I remember hearing that you would watch it.
I have 2 years of your voice on recording. I will splice together Chris promising to watch the WrestleMania Scooby-Doo at WrestleMania Mystery.
I really should stop saying Scooby-Doo then.
Next match.
Because it's a wrestling podcast. How many times would Chris say Scooby-Doo? Apparently he says it a lot.
I got a plethora of choices.
Jeez. Alright, moving on to Bray versus Chris Jericho. Bray ended up getting the win. Much better match.
Much better match.
We saw at Battleground really made me believe that, you know, maybe they were holding back a little bit at Battleground, and I wouldn't blame them because it's Battleground.
And they knew that they had a SummerSlam, like.
Right. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Chris Jericho had a new jacket that I popped for because that's what I do. I'm glad that they kept with no shenanigans with Rowan and Harper being banned.
Yeah.
It would have been easy. It was like we touched on last week. Like, you know, a lot of people were thinking that maybe that there would be a new Wyatt family member debuting. Yeah. And this is how they would, you know, make their presence known. But
I'm really surprised there isn't. Yeah, I am too, actually. I mean, like, it's kind of, it kind of ended up being the filler match as far as, like, things to talk about afterwards. It was like, they wrestled, right. And it was good, and good job, and Chris kind of got a bump on his leg. Like, he hit his leg weird, and he had a mark on his leg for the rest of the match.
Oh, I didn't notice. Okay, but, fair enough.
I mean, there's not, you. Yeah. So, but it was good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good for them.
Good for them. Good job having a match at SummerSlam.
I'm trying to think. They really didn't have anything involving them in on Raw, did they?
On Raw, no.
Oh no. Bray did a vignette or a pre-tape.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You Joel wasn't there when we watched Raw Monday night, and it was the usual crowd: me, Beardsley, Neil, and my roommate Scott. And for some reason, they just started talking about, like, the population of whatever country. And they kept comparing it to other countries. And they were just talking so loud. And I was trying to hear what Bray was saying. And so I was, you know, I had the remote in my hand. So they kept talking. And I would just very passive-aggressively just keep turning the volume up. Keep turning the volume up. Keep turning the volume up. And the only one person that noticed was Beardsley, which is kind of a curse, because that just means he wants to talk louder, because he knows that he's gonna piss me off doing it, and he did. Congratulations, you guys. Glad you guys got out your conversation about world population. They have the weirdest conversations, dude.
I watched it on my own.
I know.
Although I watched a lot of it on mute because it's Raw.
Fair enough. So yeah, that was when Bray had his Raw moment, but I think Jericho was completely absent from the show.
Yeah, he was, as far as I remember.
Yeah. So Stephanie and Brie.
Yeah.
Stephanie ended up winning because shenanigans. But
yes,
and I made this comment a couple times. If Stephanie had just won, if she had just beat Brie clean,
yeah,
I would have believed it, because Stephanie looked good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, the match was far from polished, and it's far from a 5-star match, but, you know, if you had told me that if I was watching this and I had no prior knowledge, I never would have imagined that Stephanie had been out of the ring for 10 years,
you know? Yeah.
You know, clearly she's been working out, she's been really, you know, getting into ring shape, and it paid off. This was a really good match.
It was a really good match.
And the swerve at the end, you know, kind of saw that coming a mile away. And it's one of those things, like, okay, fine, we have a Brie versus, or Bella versus Bella feud going on. I guess this is kind of inevitable.
Well, here's the real thing. One, who's going to keep the theme music? Because they come out to the same music.
I believe Nikki came out to that music.
Nikki came out to it on Raw, so does that mean that Brie needs to get new ring entrance music?
Sure, I mean, okay with it.
These are the tough questions.
Song. I hate that song with such a passion.
I'm so indifferent to that. Like, just, basically, I'm excited for Cult of Personality. Like, that's the only, like, yeah!
Right.
Every other song, I'm like, okay, that's a song.
Yeah, I don't know. That one and Kelly's music always just was just like a needle being jabbed into my eye.
I remember Kelly's music.
I would do it right now, but I don't think my voice could reach that octave at this current time. So yeah, we're getting Brie and Nikki.
But here's the thing. So if they wanted Stephanie, if Stephanie was scheduled to win SummerSlam, which yeah, she could have won it cleanly, or just with Triple H shenanigans, like it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then there's still that feud to continue, plus this whole, you know, Daniel Bryan infidelity storyline.
Yeah, did they ever actually say that if he, in storyline, if he did or didn't, or if, I don't know, his wife said if she believed he did or didn't?
Brie said he didn't.
Okay.
At the, like, the pre-match interview at SummerSlam.
Okay.
So, yeah, they did touch on that for you.
Okay, all right. Because again, like, I feel like that's a big detail that I felt was really glossed over whenever they introduced the storyline.
But, like, you know, the internet found out pretty quickly that this lady was a wrestler.
Right.
So there's that there. Does she need to have a rematch against Stephanie so we can have the face win in the end? Like, we're not starving for a storyline for Brie Bella to have.
No, not at all.
I mean, this was the kind of the trigger to pull once you'd pulled all of the triggers, and
right,
you have plenty of time still.
Yeah, and honestly, like, you know, Brie can get her rematch, but you know they can wait on it till like Survivor Series, because you know Nikki apparently is now, you know, the Stephanie's wrestling avatar right now, so you know she can have a couple matches to fill out these next couple pay-per-views for Brie, and then at Survivor Series we can get the rematch or something like that. You know, there's definitely a, you know, a way to go forward with this, with what they've got.
By the way, did they totally call out John Cena for not wanting to get married on live television while he wasn't there?
They didn't specifically say John Cena, but yeah, they kind of did.
No, but they totally did.
Because, you know, we watched those episodes of Total Divas, and so we know that whole story. So
it's just like this very sly, underhand, like, being in character and moving the story along, it's all in kayfabe, but underneath it, Stephanie's like, come on, John, be cool.
Why don't you get married, like, you know, like we want you to, because it'll be great ratings for Total Divas. Can you imagine a John Cena wedding on Total Divas, how big that would do?
If John Cena, if they don't use ring entrance music at the wedding, I will be sad.
Well, prepare to be sad, because I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, on the Total Divas, like, they can have a nice real human wedding elsewhere.
But you're saying when they edit it for broadcasting it, you want them to insert John Cena's theme music whenever he's coming out?
Yes, please.
And then whenever Nikki's walking down the aisle, you can look, but you can't touch.
If we have decided that she gets to keep the song.
Oh, Lord. Okay, sure. Wow, we put way too much thought into this.
Well,
I need a life, dude. I gotta get a job. Like, what am I doing here?
Go to the next match.
Okay, let's pull back on that depression. Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. Slow match that I kind of was disinterested in for a little while, but it picked up. You know, I didn't hate it.
It picked up, honestly, much to the credit of Randy Orton.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where it's like, every now and then, Randy Orton will do something, and it always takes you by surprise, because you forget, because, you know, of his demeanor, you know, you forget that he's actually really good in the ring. And it's one of those things where it's amazing the stuff that he can do whenever he actually gives a crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Roman is Roman, you know? I talked about this. I got one on a tangent on Rager this week when I was talking about this match. When I, you know, it seems like a lot of people online, at least, are really, like, dogging Roman Reigns these days. And I don't really understand it that much.
Yeah.
You know, people are saying that he's kind of watered down his moveset a little bit. That now that he's being pushed so heavily, he's kind of doing the John Cena formula where he has to hit his certain moves in every single match. Yeah, I guess. But it's still Roman Reigns. Like, he's still pretty awesome. Like, I don't know. I got my mind goes back to the time I made the mistake of saying that Roman Reigns was the weaker link of the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear people came at me with torches and pitchforks when I said that. And now I'm thinking, like, where are those people at now? Like, they completely just jumped off the bandwagon?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or it just might be that, you know, the internet wrestling community is a bunch of hipsters that, you know, he's too mainstream for them now, so yep. They're just going to jump ship.
They can't be happy with what they have. That's true to a degree. Part of it is like, okay, so...
Like, he's not being completely, like, Cena treatment hated, you know, anything like that, but I am noticing a shift.
I have never been super hard on, like, the shoulder blocks. Because that's, like, I don't know, it looks like a move that would hurt. Like, right. Whereas that the five-knuckle shuffle is... Five-knuckle shuffle, it's a punch. You danced and then you punched. So, yeah, Roman manages to squeeze in a Superman punch into every match now. But it looks like the Superman punch, which is not what the five-knuckle shuffle looks like.
Right.
So, yeah. I used Flamethrower with Charizard every time I pulled him out in Pokemon. And so I'm like, well, don't want this to get too boring. Let's throw in a tail whip. But nope, I have Flamethrower. Let's use Flamethrower. Go. I win the match.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Lots of people got that reference, I promise you.
Yeah, I don't play the Pokemans.
Yeah, lots of really cool people got that reference.
Yeah, okay, fine, whatever.
Come on, we're to the last match. Go, go, go.
So, yes, Roman Reigns won.
Yeah, Roman Reigns won. Go. It's exciting now.
And now we have the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match between Brock Lesnar and John Cena.
Gah!
And go.
This match was amazing.
Yeah.
No, it was.
I'm agreeing with you.
And here's the thing. It was not a technically beautiful match by any stretch of the imagination.
Lord, no.
No, it was just, you know, you know, when you have to line up, be like, oh, it's time for Match of the Year contenders, and it's main event of SummerSlam, so it automatically gets, you know, consideration. And so, like, okay. So, there are hundreds of matches that happened this year and will continue to happen that were much more beautiful technically, that kind of thing. But this match told the story so thoroughly, so well, and on such a main event stage in such a spotlight.
Right.
This match... And every fear of how this match would happen was squished. You know, there was all this like, oh, they're gonna... This is the guy that just beat, you know, The Undertaker, just destroyed this 21-year-long streak, or more, because he didn't go, but, you know, this multi-decade streak was finally coming to an end. And that's the guy that's gonna, like, is gonna lose to Cena or just eke by with a win.
Right.
And just that he destroyed John Cena.
Yeah.
Just that he...
And usually, in something like, you know, you hear someone tell you that a match had 16 German suplexes, and you're like, God, that must have been a boring match. Not really, because he threw every single one just as powerful as the first one.
Yeah. And part of it is who was in the match. If you were like, all right, Damian Sandow and Heath Slater are going to have a match with 16 German suplexes in it. I'm like, nope, I am not interested in that. But if you're like...
I would like to see Damian Sandow try.
But if you say, John Cena, WWE, 2014, the WWE corporation that exists in 2014, is going to German suplex John Cena 16 times on one of their biggest pay-per-views of the year. But like, nope. I don't believe that. I want to watch that, because that is not going to happen.
Yeah, and to see John Cena get in as little offense as I've ever seen him have. Like, he threw a few punches, that was about it.
He didn't come close.
No.
And
he ate an F5, like, what, 30 seconds a minute into the match?
First of all, that's the thing that, like, always... You know, like, I have to grit my teeth and seep into KFAB to deal with, because, like, you all have super moves. You all have one move that's more powerful than all your other moves. Why are you not always trying to do that move?
Well, yeah, because then we would get, you know, the last 5 minutes of any WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
At all times.
No, I understand. Like, I understand why, and, like, let's KFAB horse blinders on and ignore that. But just to have Brock Lesnar, well, this is the move I should use.
Right. This was exactly what was needed.
This match was my hopes and dreams version of this match.
Right.
Like, I was I was pretty sure Brock Lesnar would win. Like, I had that fear that he wouldn't, but I was pretty sure that he would win. But
if he did, he would barely eke by with it.
He would eke by. It would be a long back and forth match. Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman might do something.
Right.
Like, no, it was so much like, no, it's the beast incarnate, as they say. And like, there's the Undertaker setup, which, by the way, I said this in my 10 thoughts, but like,
yeah,
this is why you're too replay heavy, because there's this moment, and they actually had to replay the thing that they missed during playing a replay.
Right.
Which probably is ironic. I don't want to say that for sure, because we'll...
Yeah, I'll go with ironic. Yeah.
But
I was an English major for an entire semester, so I think I know what I'm talking about.
There you go. But it was like the sit-up, which is a little bit of a nod to The Undertaker, which is nice because he just beat The Undertaker. And then just this, like, look at Jesse, like, you don't even know what you got yourself into.
Right.
You had no idea. And John Cena had no idea. There's just those, like, no way that he could have fathomed what was going to happen here. And it was great. And in all fairness, kudos to Cena for being like, yep, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
I don't know how much say he has in his career. I'm sure he has some at this point.
Yeah.
But like, could you tell 1992 Hulk Hogan, hey, we should suplex you 16 times.
Yeah.
And then have you lose with zero offense.
Right. Yeah, like, I feel like John Cena himself is probably the kind of guy that would absolutely go along with whatever is needed of him, win, lose, or whatever. But a lot of times it's, you know, WWE or the writers or Vince just kind of getting a little gun-shy about stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
John Cena is John Cena. But what we saw at SummerSlam was one of those things where it's like, okay, all of this happening makes sense. He did just beat the streak. What else would we expect to happen?
Yeah.
You know? But do we really think John, like, you know, all pre-notions aside of the entire John Cena brand or whatever, you know, you really think someone or anyone could even put up a fight against that? And the answer is no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so,
yeah.
What you have now is, where on earth could you possibly go from here? Because Cena is your most powerful guy. If you tiered everybody in KFAB, Cena is the most powerful active wrestler, with arguments for Triple H, who Brock Lesnar has beaten, and for Undertaker, who Brock Lesnar has beaten.
Yeah. I don't know where you go from here, you know, because again, we've talked about this at length before SummerSlam was, you know, exactly what you do with the title that's on Brock Lesnar, a part-timer.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with something that you had said almost immediately, whenever we watched it, was that WWE kind of, like, somehow managed to find a way to make John Cena look like an underdog again.
Yeah.
Which I think is, at this point, is a remarkable feat.
Yes. No, if John Cena wins at Night of Champions, it will feel like John Cena overcame the odds. Right. And there will be a small part of him like, again, because he always does.
Right.
But that part's usually very big.
Yeah. Yeah, usually, you know, when someone like Michael Cole or something that says, you know, John Cena overcame the odds, we all roll our eyes or whatever. This time, we'll roll our eyes eventually, but at first, we'll kind of believe it.
Yeah.
Because it's true, yeah.
So do you think John Cena should overcome the odds at Night of Champions?
No. Lord, no. Maybe have a more contested match, maybe, but I don't think he should win. Like, I think Brock needs to ride the whole Undertaker thing for a while. And it's almost like how we talked about the Undertaker streak. you know, it needed to be, we always thought it needed to be beaten by an up-and-comer, someone who could really take the torch and run with it. Mm-hmm. Now it feels like, well, the person who beats Brock to get the championship away from him needs to be someone that can take the torch and run with it, someone who could really use it. I'm thinking one of the Shield guys, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure WWE's, you know, knee-jerk reaction right now would be for have Roman Reigns do it, but I can make an argue really quick for Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's really
riding a wave right now.
Yeah, any of the guys could. And
yeah.
And if you have Seth do it again, I think we talked about last week, there you have the Triple H betrayed Plan C, and then you have a nice little Brock his face, Paul Heyman pseudo face kind of thing, where you can do that there. By the way, okay, remember when you were all bummed out that I wasn't appropriately excited about Paul Heyman's promo a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
This promo.
Yeah.
Was amazing.
It really was. And to the point where Lesnar just had to take a break and sit on the table for a while.
Yeah. Lesnar did a good job. Like, honestly, that little part was like, I love it when you say that, my name that way. Say it again. I was like, yes. Right. So, but so many wrestlers struggle with making their opponents look credible. John Cena among them. John Cena is one of the worst offenders.
Right.
Of the difference is, it's the difference in I'm good and you are bad, that's why I'll beat you, and you are good but I am better, and that's why I'll beat you.
Right.
And obviously you have to talk a little more eloquently than that in a promo, but
depending on who's giving the promo.
Yes, but too many people too often fall a lot closer into the you are bad and I am good and that's why I will beat you promo.
Yeah.
But Paul Heyman really put over John Cena in that promo.
Yeah.
And, like, put over the past couple of years of John Cena's career.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment of, you know, he's like, I would love, if I had the time, to make John Cena a Paul Heyman guy. And this crowd had this, like, confused reaction because they boo Cena. But they cheer Paul Heyman, guys. But
yeah.
But John Cena wouldn't be a Paul Heyman guy, but Paul Heyman said he would, and Paul Heyman would know. So right. I don't know if I should cheer for John Cena at this moment. So it was so eloquently word poetry that came out of Paul Heyman. I mean, that one is a contender of promo for the year. Which, mm-hmm. to be even more impressive, because it wasn't there to promo anything.
Right.
Like, it was a, by and large, a recap for those who didn't watch SummerSlam.
No, not, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the, you know, it had a different purpose, and to still be as captivating as it was, that was Paul Heyman at his best. Not that the other Paul Heyman wasn't really, really good.
But this is him taking it up a whole other level. Yeah, absolutely. So. So the past two SummerSlams have been really good.
Yes.
I'm still a little bit more, I still lean towards last year's as the better one, but this year's was really good. Easily my number two pay-per-view of the year.
Oh yeah, no question.
Of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
You know, WrestleMania 30 obviously being number one.
Yes.
Because that was a fantastic pay-per-view. Was there anything else we needed to cover?
I don't think so. I'm going through Raw real quick, but we kind of touched on it as we went.
Yeah.
It has been officially confirmed that John Cena will have his rematch clause.
Yeah.
At
Night of Champions.
At Night of Champions.
Is it time for the Night of Champions rant, or are we going to save that one?
I'm kind of looking forward to Night of Champions right now. I'm going to be totally honest.
Wow.
I know, right?
Dear Lord, that feels weird.
That is how good SummerSlam was.
Fair enough. Like, I mean, last year's Night of Champions was even better, but we did know that there would be no Brock Lesnar. to come back, you know, so there's that. Fine.
Well, part of
Because the last year's not a champions, we had to look forward to a Punk and Curtis Axel match. Hooray.
Well, part of it is what both WrestleMania is a very good it's a very good season finale, basically, of that year in wrestling.
Right.
And that's part of why 27 still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. It's just it ends on, like, you know, wrestling's job is always to get you to tune in the next week or the next night if it's a pay-per-view. But WrestleMania is the period on the sentence. Seeing Daniel Bryan celebrate. Or, you know, if you don't like 29, fine, but seeing John Cena get the torch passed. Or seeing The Rock, you know, win. Coming back and winning. Or seeing Shawn Michaels' final, you know, they have them, and then in 27 they hear this bleh of an ending.
Right.
So, yeah, whereas, like, tuning in to the Monday after WrestleMania to kind of continue the WrestleMania celebration, whereas tuning in to the night after SummerSlam, for the past few years, is to find out how they're going to deal with what just happened on SummerSlam.
Right.
SummerSlam has not been ending on celebrate time. You know?
Right.
Face of the company got destroyed both times, basically. You know? Whether it was the face that the W Corporation wants us to cheer for, or the face that the fans genuinely wanted last year.
Right. So basically it's like the mid-season finale.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, kind of wrapping up some things, but gaining, or, you know, still holding on to our interest for, you know, the next half of the season.
Yeah, well, there's so much of, like, oh, what is going to happen now? I got to tune in on Monday and see.
Right.
And whereas last year's Monday, kind of like, oh, okay, that's what they're doing here. This week's Monday was a lot more like, I want to keep seeing more. And so that's why I'm still excited for Night of Champions.
Because Monday was actually pretty decent.
Yeah, and we'll see what John Cena says next week. And that might be like, oh, John Cena's going to say his John Cena words, and oh, we're back to how I feel.
Right.
But we'll see. Right now,
fair enough.
Excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Want to talk about what's making you happy this week?
SummerSlam's making me happy. No, okay. Specifically, how picture-perfect the Brock Lesnar match was.
Okay.
How exactly, so often, when I sit here and be like, this match needs to be like this, and they get kind of close, and that's good enough.
Yeah.
This match, beyond my hopes and dreams, gave off the exact feel that I wanted that match to give off.
Right. Fair enough. Anything non-wrestling related
that's
making
me
happy this week?
Not for me.
Oh, wow. All right.
I mean, it was my birthday this week. Happy birthday to me.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, like, yesterday was your birthday. Come on. Did you have a good birthday?
I had a good birthday.
That's good. Did you like my poem?
Yes, I did like your poem. It was
You're
good.
Welcome. It took me forever to find a word that rhymed with poem. as you saw.
Yes. Good job.
I'm really stoked for Cierno.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm kind of stoked for it.
Good.
It's it's premiering a week from today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that, yes, it is.
Yeah, that's pretty much the reason why Joel is unable to record this at my apartment like he usually does, because he's very much busy with this this play that he's in. You're in, right?
I'm in it, yes.
You're in it and help kind of putting things together for it and all that good old stuff. So if you're in the Greensboro, Burlington area, go see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want, like, actual details of that, just, like, tweet us or something and we'll send it to you.
Yes.
But I'll be there.
All right.
Yeah. I'm really stoked for it.
Good.
That's make me happy.
I'll be stoked when I learn all my lines.
And on that note, that's right. It's time for the mail sack.
mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your mail
sack. We only have one bit of mail to cover, and this comes from Neil. And he's touching on what we saw on Raw. Now that the WWE Heavyweight Championship is just one belt, does that hurt the chances of the championship being split apart anytime soon?
Yes.
Yeah. Anytime that they don't have two physical belts, you know, it's basically them trying to
retire
keep the belts together.
Yeah.
And retire the other one. Which is fine. Like, yeah, having two belts is kind of a good dominating type look for mm-hmm. your champion. But it's also kind of inconvenient.
Yeah.
You know?
I've never been wild about the two belts look.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember when... we're going to talk about Show Miz twice in one episode.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, because they had both tag team belts and Miz had the U.S. Championship.
Yeah.
He had three freaking belts.
Yeah, and like, and occasionally, like, Big Show would have a match, and so he'd come and then give, like, his two tag team belts to Miz. So Miz would be, like, waiting on, like, five belts. I'm like, you didn't earn those. Come back to Cleveland.
Like, at that point, and he, like, put those belts on him, he's basically three-fifths championship belt as a human being. Yeah. So. Yeah, no. Yeah, I feel like this was kind of their move all along, because we had been getting rumors that they were going to change the logo way before the network actually happened.
Yeah.
And we had seen what the logo would look like, blah, blah, blah. And this was like their chance to switch everything over into with the new logo. And, you know, I didn't even think about the WWE Championship belt. I didn't even think that, oh, yeah, there's a big Attitude Scratch logo on the front of that thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that they would have to change that until
they changed that it, and you're happened. Like, oh, yeah, okay.
And I was like, you know, they're going to do the big unveil for the new belt. I'm like, yeah, they're just going to put, like, a tiny little logo on it or something. Yeah, whatever. And then I was like, oh, okay, now I see. I'm an idiot. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, they like doing that for new champions, specifically for big name guys like Rock and
Rock unveiled the last one.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, importantly, I guess this makes Dolph Ziggler officially have the second biggest title.
Yep.
Possible.
And the big gold belt is gone.
It is.
Presumably forever.
Yep.
Can we go back to just calling it the WWE Championship now?
Yeah, I want to do that as well. I support you in that.
That's too much. That's too many words. Yep. Just too many syllables.
Yeah.
Just call it the WWE Championship now. Yeah.
So. All right.
Good times, you guys.
Well, we made it through this one. Good for us.
Yeah.
We high five you, but I'm miles away.
We only talked over each other a little bit.
Yep.
Once in a while.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so look us up there. You find us, you can subscribe, get new episodes every week, maybe do a review or a rating of
5 stars.
All that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast, and we'd appreciate it.
I didn't have a cowbell. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insightpulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy, and huzzah.
Huzzah.